Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and Happy New Year, January 1st, 2022. Can you believe it? We're walking into a new year. And today's message is Wise People Still Seek Him. And we're going to look at Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5, and Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, the Seed Christian Fellowship would love to send you a Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll put God's Word in your hand. Join me, and before we go to God's Word, let us just have a moment of prayer. Lord, in the beginning of this new year, we look out into the year, and we ask, Lord, that you would fill us with hope, a hope that would never disappoint us, as it says in Romans 5, a hope that's poured out into us with love and joy and peace. And we pray as we open up these words, your word would be alive and redemptive. Your word would shape us and mold us and fashion us to be the people of God that you call us to be. Let us be wise. Let us be people who still seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Micah chapter 5, 1 through 5. Listen for God's word for you. The prophet Micah says, "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." Boy, is that a great word. God will be our peace. Almost 700 years before the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah proclaimed the good news of a coming king. Think about that for a few moments. For 700 years, the story had been passed down from generation to generation that God would send a Savior, and his Savior would be born in the little village of Bethlehem. This shepherd Savior would come in the majesty of the Lord, and his greatness would be known to the ends of the earth. People waited, they watched for this day to happen. Some gave up waiting, like some people today, maybe even. Some people gave up watching, but not the Magi from the East. They waited, they watched, and they went and worshiped. We're going to talk about the Magi today, the three kings, and how they came, how they waited, how they watched, and how they went and they worshiped. Listen to the story recorded by Matthew in chapter 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After he had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, we're looking at this message. Epiphany is coming. Epiphany always happens 12 days after Christmas, January 6th. Epiphany means manifestation. Epiphany is the day that was set by the early church as the day God manifested Christ, the Savior, to the Gentiles with the coming of the wise men to Bethlehem. There are 330 different prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Let me say that again. There's 330 different prophecies of the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Matthew gives us four of them in chapter 2 alone. Matthew, he's a detailed writer. He loves to just write down the details. He gives us four of the prophecies in chapter 2. Think of it for a minute. If you are a mathematician, what are the odds of four of the 330 prophecies being fulfilled by one person? What are the odds of one person fulfilling all 330? This is exactly what happens when Christ is born. The story of the wise men visiting the Christ child is very intriguing. These men waited, they watched, and when they saw the promise of the star fulfilled, they went and they worshiped. Can you comprehend this story for just a few moments on this New Year's Day? This traveling caravan of wise men and servants began a long trip to Israel simply because a particular star was in the sky, alerting them to the birth of the King of the Jews. They traveled for several months before they finally met the Christ child. I believe this is more than just a story to, entertain us. It is a story to teach us about our own personal response to Christ, the child born King of the Jews. How do you respond that Christ was born? Maybe better yet, how will you respond that you know that Christ is coming back? We do not know much about the wise men, who they were, how many of them they really were, how long they traveled, which routes they traveled. We're not told how they knew about the birth of the child or how they knew to follow the star. Maybe for 700 years, the story had been passed down from father to son, mother to daughter, was passed down telling them to wait and to watch for that star because a new king would be born soon. There have been many debates about the star the wise men followed. Was it really a star? Was it a comet? Was it the Shekinah glory of God? Shekinah glory is the glory the shepherds saw when the angels appeared over them. Over the years, tradition has narrowed it down to three wise men because they brought three types of gifts. We've called them kings, magi, and they have been given names Caspar, Melchior, and Belteshazzar. I assume they were narrowed down to three because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We do not know it. In the days when Christ was born, gold was a gift given to kings. Frankincense was a gift given to the priest, and myrrh was given to those who died. Can you find Christmas in this story? Can you find Christmas in your life? Christmas has passed, but Jesus is still alive. Even in the shadow of the manger, there was a cross forthcoming. We could spend our time talking about the gifts and their significance. We could relate the gifts to what gifts we could bring. But what I'd like to do today is to reflect on the three different responses to the birth of the Christ child in this story of the wise men. Herod and the people of Jerusalem, they were uncomfortable. The chief priest and the teachers of the law, they were unwilling. And the wise men, I'm going to use the word unleashed. Uncomfortable, unwilling, unleashed. Where are you in this story? Who are you identifying with? After celebrating Christmas, I wonder which one we really are. Matthew tells us in verse 3 that Herod and the people of Jerusalem were uncomfortable. Matthew puts it this way, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. The verb used for frightened in the original Greek, while it's a very descriptive word, and it's translated into English with many different words like disturbed, terrified, and even frightened. The verb is in an active voice, and it literally means to shake up, to stir up, to trouble, or to agitate. Herod would have been agitated, terrified, and frightened when he heard the news that the Magi, the wise men from the east, had come to town looking for a child who was born king. Wait a minute. Herod was king. And now these people are coming looking for a child who is king. King of the Jews. Herod's political power was at stake. Herod wanted to be the one and only king. News of another king would have terrified him and made him quite agitated. Well, it would have made him uncomfortable. Great King Herod threatened by a tiny newborn baby. Have you ever run into people who are uncomfortable with the news of Christ being born King of the Jews? The Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. Have you ever tried to talk to people about Jesus and you can just see how uncomfortable they are? Maybe you're listening today and you're a little uncomfortable with me talking about Jesus being your Savior or your Messiah or your Lord or King of the Jews. Maybe that people are uncomfortable because in their own little world, there is only room for one person to be king. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're looking at the wise men today and the reaction of this story. And we're looking at King Herod and the people of Jerusalem. They were uncomfortable. They were terrified, frightened, agitated, and disturbed. Sometimes I think we get frightened and agitated and disturbed over many things. And maybe we're a little bit like King Herod. We want to be in control. That's the first response. The second response I find in this story is they were unwilling. The second response to the Magi illustrates the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They were unwilling. I find it interesting that when Herod feels uncomfortable, he calls all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he says, "Tell me where the Messiah is to be born." Here were the key scholars of the Jewish religious society. The Sadducees were the chief priests who ruled and controlled the temple, and the Pharisees were the scribes and teachers of the law. Don't you find it interesting that they proved to Herod that they knew where the Christ child was to be born? In Bethlehem. Interesting, Bethlehem, house of bread. They were unwilling, though, to believe the news they had heard from the wise men. Trust me. Of all the people on the planet Earth, they knew. I think there are people listening today that they know about Christ, but they don't know Christ. You know all about Christ, but you don't know Christ. That maybe we're a little bit unwilling to accept Christ. They had, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had been told the story for over 700 years. The shepherd king would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, friends, is only 5 miles from Jerusalem. 5 miles. 5 miles away. They would not go 5 miles to find the Messiah. Don't you think if you'd been waiting for something like this to happen, well, you'd stroll over and take a look yourself? I mean, come on, 700 years of waiting. These guys were unwilling, plain and simple. A story has been told about a young mother and her 5-year-old child during their last-minute shopping for Christmas, and a young mother was rushing in and out of aisles in the department store trying desperately to complete her final task. It was in one of those busy aisles that the mother lost the hand of her little boy. And after a few minutes, she realized her son was missing. Becoming terrified, she began to run up and down the aisles looking for her son. To her amazement, she saw him kneeling down in front of the store in a manger scene. When the mother reached for her son, she began to scold him and ask him, "What are you doing?" The little boy looked up with wonder in his eyes and explained that the baby Jesus was lying in a manger. The mother grabbed her son's hand and pulled him to his feet and told him, "Sweetheart, we don't have time for that right now." Wow. Right there in front of her was Christmas. The Christ child was born, and she's been so busy planning and shopping that she swept right past the moment. This poor mother was so wrapped up in her quote-unquote to-do list that she was unwilling to be interrupted. Well, for the chief priests and the teacher of the law, accepting the news of the birth of the Christ child would mean a change for them in their political power and religious influence. It would mean that this Christ child was more than just a story told long ago. Acknowledging this Christ child meant there was a real person born to rule and reign as King, Savior, Lord, and Shepherd of our lives. For these guys, there was a lot at stake, a lot of personal power and influence. Well, maybe we can identify with that. I think we can. I know of many people who are unwilling to respond to the news of the child-born King of the Jews. For over 2,000 years, the news of the birth of Christ has been proclaimed in songs, books, movies, churches, and by individuals, yet there are many who are simply unwilling to respond. Why? Responding to the news would mean giving up power and control, and giving Christ control to be our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, our King. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were unwilling to give up their power, their control, and their religious influence. The frantic mother had a list to conquer. She didn't have time for unplanned interruptions. Unleashed. I love the story of the wise men because it paints a picture of true worshipers. The Jewish leaders had the letter of God's word. The Magi had way less knowledge of the true God, but what they knew, they believed and they followed. The Greek word magi means great. These magi were great among their people, like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. But these wise men were wise enough to keep seeking. They were wise enough to notice a new star in the horizon. They were wise enough to make plans to follow. They were wise enough to ask Herod for further directions. I joke that Moses wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because he never asked for directions. How many people today don't ask for directions? Of course, with all the smartphones, you just go, "Siri, give me directions." But these wise men, they asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." In verse 11 of Matthew, it tells us, "On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him." The wise men were not uncomfortable like King Herod. They were not unwilling like the chief priests and teachers of the law. These wise men were unleashed to worship Christ. What a wonderful image of true worshipers. In the Gospel of John, we are told that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, these wise men were unleashed to worship the newborn king. Wouldn't it have been a great DVD to have that? Worship the King by the wise men. Maybe we should produce one. What do you think of when you think of worship? Worship can be done kneeling in adoration or standing in admiration. Worship can be sung in psalms and classical or traditional hymns or in a chorus of praise. Worship can happen in a quiet, contemplative atmosphere with hands folded or in a loud hand-raising experience. Worship is a matter of our hearts being unleashed to the wisdom of Christ. King Herod was not unleashed. He felt threatened by a baby. The chief priest and the teacher of the law were too afraid of losing their power and influence. They were too busy to travel 5 miles. So what? So what do these wise men have to do with us today? What can we learn from them? I believe that at times we are a lot like King Herod. We're uncomfortable. I believe that at times we are a lot like the chief priests and the teachers of the law. We're unwilling. Well, it's my hope and my prayer is that we will learn to overcome our uncomfortableness and unwillingness and instead become unleashed. Unleashed with the news of the birth of the Christ child. Unleashed like the wise men to bow down and worship the King with the gifts of our lives. We sit at the brink of a new year. The slate is clean. The canvas of 2022 is blank. Are we going to be uncomfortable? Are we going to be unwilling? Are we going to be unleashed? Jonathan Edwards, the 18th century revivalist, sat down at age 17 and penned 21 resolutions by which he would live his life. He added to that list until by his death he had 70 resolutions. Edwards put on the top of that list, quote, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions, remembering to read over these resolutions once a week. Edwards didn't casually make New Year's resolutions with an exception of or expectation of eventually breaking them. Each week he did a self-check. He regularly summed up how he was doing and sought God's help in the process. So my so what? What are your resolutions for this new year? What are we going to write on the slate of 2022? What are we going to paint on the canvas of our lives in this year? What are our resolutions for, well, what are your resolutions for the church, your church? What are your resolutions for your family? What are your resolutions for your school or workplace or your relationships? I met with a guy this week and I said, everybody should have a one-year goal. What's your one-year goal for 2022? I'm just going to put it out there. You can email at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship and tell me your one-year goal. What is it that you want to paint on the canvas of 2022? Paul the Apostle wrote in his letter to the Philippians that he wanted to forget what was behind and he wanted to strain forward what was ahead. He wrote that he wanted to win the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Well, my so what question for you today is for you to make a New Year's resolution. Are you in it to win it? As the wise men waited, watched, and went and worshiped, are you ready to wait, watch, and worship? Are you in this adventure of life to win it? Whatever our personal resolutions may be, whatever our resolution for your family or your work situation or a relationship or your health, I pray we all seek God's help, regularly checking on how we're doing, and pray we become unleashed to be in it to win it. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we'll all be unleashed. Unleashed to seek Christ. Unleashed to ask for directions. Unleashed to worship the Spirit and truth. Let us make one resolution as God's family. Let us resolve to simply follow like the wise men and return home a different way. Let us offer God our blank slates for our lives and for the lives of our church. Let's agree with Jonathan Edwards. Being sensible that we're unable to do anything without God's help, we humbly entreat God's grace to complete everything that Christ has planned for us. Let us pray. God of creation, your love is so amazing. Help us not to be like Herod, uncomfortable, because we only have room enough for one king, which is me. Help us to not be like the chief priests and teachers of the law, unwilling to let the news of Christ rule in our hearts, but let us become unleashed like the wise men. Foolish to abandon ourselves fully to following the newborn King. May we all be unleashed to seek you, to follow you, to find you. May we be unleashed to worship you in spirit and truth. Give us dreams and visions of your great love and lead us by your guiding light. We pray we will wait, watch, and worship. We pray our gifts will be gifts fit for a king. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.